You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Scott Unesh, Mark Dukes with you. Isaac on the other side of the glass here today. Great to have you aboard as we take you through this hour presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. They are online at DuPaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being by checking them out at their website. And that, of course, is at DuPaco.com. Got a good show for you. Barry Abrams going to join us from ESPN, covers horse racing, the Far Turn podcast. Going to talk about the 148th run for the Black Eyed Susans coming up on Saturday. It'll be the Preakness Stakes from Pimlico in Baltimore. And will Mage be able to get the second leg of the Triple Crown? The field is a lot less than it was at Churchill Downs, which is nothing unusual. But we'll talk about that with Barry, go over the Kentucky Derby, and a whole lot more. We will do that coming up here in just a little while. We'll get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you as well. Lots to talk about. It's the first round of the PGA Championship going on in Rochester, New York at Oak Hill, and more today. On a beautiful Sun Splash Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Listening in here today on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. And we thank you very, very much for tuning in today and every day. And you can interact with us. We encourage you to do so. Love to hear from our listeners out there. Text line available at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is also 319-366-1600. On this Thursday afternoon, as Isaac and I are here, Mark is on the back porch on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids today, joining us on this Thursday. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Scott. I'm doing well. Good afternoon, Isaac, and everyone out there. It is a beautiful day going on outside. Terrific for state track. We'll get to that a little bit later on, or whatever the outdoor activity pleasure you seek.
That's true. Great day for track and field. Couldn't get much better than this for track and field. And yeah, we'll update you on the happenings going on at the Big Blue Oval at Drake Stadium. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit, Mark. But the topic du jour today, or the number one, well, a couple things. But before we get to that, though, how can I forget about this? Because we are going to pick our grand prize winner today before 4 o'clock. We are going to pick between, let's see how my memory is doing. Oh, James. That's James. Noah. And who am I missing, Isaac?
Our friend
Carmel.
Steve from Carmel. Yes.
Thank you. Steve from Carmel. How could I forget Steve from Carmel? Listening in on the internet. So one of those three is going to pick up the grand prize, and that would be two general admission passes to the Indianapolis 500, the 107th edition. That'll be coming up a week from this Sunday. You can catch it right here on KGYM. And looking forward to giving those away. That's going to be a lot of fun. Isaac's going to help with that.
Yeah, not just with the hat either that I also helped with earlier.
You're going to play Vanna White here and help us out. So are you ready? Are you getting, you know, yourself psyched up for that?
I've never been more prepared to draw a ripped up sticky note with a number on it in my life.
Don't give away all our trade secrets.
Sorry. I mean, it is a very, it's very intense how we draw it.
It's complex.
It's a very complex.
It's complex. And, you know, you can read about this and all the great trades coming down the line here. But we got the first round of the PGA Championship going on, Mark, at Oak Hill. They had a frost delay, which we anticipated yesterday. And by the way, if you missed Caddy Smack on the Gym Class with you and I and Brian Haas, go back and listen to that on our podcast. It is available at KGYMradio.com, Apple, and Spotify as well. And they did have a frost delay today. After that, players are on the course the afternoon. They're about 2 hours behind, and play is going excruciatingly slow as well here today. And The afternoon groups are just getting out on the golf course, the last part of those afternoon groups right now. But so far, it's been a very interesting first round. Scores pretty high. Not many people under par. O'Kill is winning, and this might be the best day for scoring on this Thursday, Mark. But as you predicted, it is at least right now, a heavy LIV influence.
Yeah, it has been an interesting day, Scott. And this first round will not conclude today for many golfers. Some have not even teed off yet. But right now, Bryson DeChambeau, your leader at -4. He is through 16 holes, tied for second at -3. Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connors, Keegan Bradley. Right now, only 14 players under par, and several of those are just getting underway. So not a great sample size in that regard. So some notables, Cedar Pidian, Zach Johnson, shot a 4-over par 74. Zach only hit 5 out of 14 fairways. And, I mean, is okay, not great. He's got some work to do tomorrow. Also, finish for the day, Rory McIlroy and Colin Morikawa finished at +171. Yeah, this is a par 70 course. At +2, Brooks Koepka and Justin Thomas. They shot 72 today. Shooting 73, Justin Spieth had some tape around his left wrist. Didn't seem to be too affected by that injury. Maybe most surprising, John Rahm shot 76 today, as did Matthew Fitzpatrick. Two major winners.
Rough is thick, very thick, and it is playing difficult. It is playing fast. You miss the fairway, and it's about a 65% proposition that you're going to make bogey or worse. That has kind of been the way it has acted so far, the golf course anyway. Golf course is winning. Golf course is winning, as we mentioned. And you mentioned Rory McIlroy at +1 today, and Rory hit it all over the yard today and still shot 71. So his body language isn't real good right now. Just kind of moping around the golf course. Swing is not exactly where he wants it to be, obviously. He's got the double miss going, and we've talked about that in the past. If you're a pro and you have the double miss going, that ain't fun. That's not fun when you're an amateur. That's a whole different level of not fun when you're a professional. Just hasn't been playing real well as of late, but got a 71 out of it. So he didn't shoot himself out of it today. Bryson DeChambeau is knocking down sticks. Not the straightest driver in the world. You would think that this course is just really not built for Bryson DeChambeau. It is narrow, and it is, just like we mentioned, thick rough all over the place. But so far, Bryson's getting away with it when he misses. He just missed a fairway on 7, his 16th hole of the day, and made about a – tell you what, the putter can help you out at times, Mark. Made about a 15-footer for a saving par. Scottie Scheffler, though, I thought Scottie Scheffler and Corey Connors were the two most consistent guys today.
Yeah, Scheffler had 3 birdies and didn't make a bogey all day. I agree. He was maybe one of the most impressive. Keegan Bradley playing really well. And, you know, if you're doing things that like DeChambeau and McIlroy are doing in terms of hitting wayward shots, that's not going to last at Oak Hill.
No. No, it's going to catch up with you at some point. So we'll see. We'll see. It's still early, very early. And like you said, the first round is not going to be completed today. They're going to have to come out early tomorrow. It's supposed to be warmer in Rochester, New York. It is a New York crowd. We know that. There's a lot of hooting and hollering and whooping going on. Refreshments have been sold, Mark, at this venue. It's not New York Wild, but it's still state of New York golf.
Yeah, and players recognize that too. In a practice round yesterday, professional Joel Damon hit a wayward tee shot, hit a youngster, not a youngster, a young man in the leg, gave him a welt on the leg, and Damon ended up giving him a $100 bill saying, the beer's on me the rest of the day, young man.
Not a bad thing. If you're, well, hey, he... Would you get hit for a golf by a golf ball by a professional in exchange for $100?
Depends on where you get hit, Scott. This was below the knee. You know, he was fine. Be worse spots to get hit.
Where's the word? No, we're not going down that line. We're not going down that road. Don't worry, Isaac. Isaac's given me a very, very confused and stern look all at the same time right now. Where are you taking the ship right now, Captain? Well, we're gonna put it back into calmer waters. How's that? We're gonna get the ship straightened here. Go ahead and give me an update on what's happening at Straight Track and Field as well. We talked about that. We're gonna have our drawing before 4 o'clock, and Barry Abrams is gonna join us at the bottom of the hour as well. Looking forward to talking with Barry and see what's happening at Pimlico, as this is the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And will we see a Triple Crown this year? Will it continue? The quest continue? We will have that with Barry coming up in just a little bit. Hey, I want to let everybody know that today, Thursday, May the 18th, not only my wife's birthday, by the way, happy birthday, but today on our website at kgymradio.com, KGYM listeners can buy pre-sale tickets today until 10 o'clock tonight for the Dropkick Murphys. They're going to be coming to the Alliant Energy Powerhouse here in Cedar Rapids. That show is slated for Wednesday, October the 18th. They're touring in support of their just-released acoustic album that has the lyrics of Woody Guthrie interwoven among those songs. But if you'd like to look into those tickets, we've got that pre-sale code at kgymradio.com, and it's going to go until 10 o'clock this evening. So check that out. And that will be on Wednesday, October the 18th. That will be when the show will take place. Hope everybody, I knew a few people that went out to Willie Nelson last night, said it was a very fine show at the amphitheater. Hope everybody enjoyed it that was out there.
Yeah, got an opportunity to see him along with Todd and Scotta at the Paramount. God, it's probably long ago than what I remember, but it was terrific then. And I'm sure he was terrific last night. And I want to wish your beloved Christy a happy birthday as well. And also, I don't know if you knew this, it is the birthday, the 97th birthday for Bob Ask.
Yes.
The Jefferson longtime coach, teacher, and historian, one of our area's great treasures.
Bob, I know you listened quite a bit to the show, and if you are today, happy 97th birthday, Bob. And you will not find a nicer gentleman in not only Cedar Rapids, Eastern Iowa, but I think all over the planet, than Bob Ask.
Couldn't agree more.
And his beloved Jayhawks upset Kennedy last night at baseball, I saw.
Yeah, indeed, after Kennedy won 12-1, and the day before, Jefferson did pull off the upset. And I think you're going to have that in baseball from time to time when you get into your pitching staff a little bit, but great win for Coach Nikoloff and the Jayhawks.
Yep. 319-366-1600 is a text line. That's a phone line as well if you'd like to reach out to us today. Again, 319-366-1600. Basketball coming up tonight for you right here on KGYM. as we will have game number 2 coming up this evening between the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. 7 o'clock is our pregame time tonight, and the opening tip-off will get underway at around 7:30. Denver held off LA in game number 1. Last night, Miami went into Boston and stole home court advantage in that particular series, winning game 1 and leading that series, of course, 1-0. Game 2 of that series will come up tomorrow evening. And also the National Hockey League playoffs. The conference finals get underway tonight. The Eastern Conference final. It will be the 8th-seeded Cinderella. Everybody's team. They are America's hockey team. The Florida Panthers taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. The Hurricanes, a big favorite, the number 2 seed against the 8th-seeded Florida Panthers, but Florida wasn't supposed to beat Boston either. And game 1 will come up tonight in Carolina. Speaking of hockey news, Mark, there's talk that the Arizona Coyotes may be moving out of the desert and perhaps even moving to Kansas City and taking up residence there. They're having problems with their arena lease, et cetera, et cetera. They're playing out way out outside of town, out by where the Cardinals play, and it's just not an ideal situation. Not getting good attendance either. Patrick Mahomes actually kind of leading the way and trying to get hockey back to Kansas City. Of course, being hockey fans that we are, and of course Isaac knows this, you remember the days of the great Kansas City Scouts when they were in hockey. He's just smiling at me. I miss the Kansas City Scouts. I want them back, Mark.
I know nothing of which you speak.
So you and Isaac are both giving me blank stares. Is that what you're saying?
We're on the same page, Isaac.
Okay, very good. Isaac, in the next 10 minutes, look up some Kansas City Scouts information. Just watch a little bit, take it all in, because it could be coming back to the great Midwest. Hockey, 2 teams in the state of Missouri. Huh? There you go. Big rivalry with the St. Louis Blues, my beloved St. Louis Blues. So perhaps that's going to take off. Remains to be seen. Also, before we get to a scoreboard update here, news in the National Football League, Matt Ryan is going to be going to the TV side of things. He's going to be joining CBS Sports as an analyst for the National Football League, but he is not completely putting out that his career is over. He's not said that he is retiring. If the correct opportunity and the right opportunity comes along, he is still looking to play some more football. But the former longtime Atlanta Falcon quarterback tried his hand at the Indianapolis Colts last year, did not work, and he's looking at his future, certainly. I think he'd be a good analyst. I think he's going to be absolutely fantastic in there, but he may have a few more passes left in that right arm.
No, he's had a really, really, really good career. Very underrated career, I think.
Hall of Famer?
I don't know about that. But I, too, agree he'll be good on TV.
You look at his numbers. They're pretty good. Was in the Super Bowl. Should have won a Super Bowl, didn't win a Super Bowl. I mean, does that keep him out of Canton because he did not win that Super Bowl? And it really wasn't totally his fault that the Falcons gave up that second half lead.
Who's a better quarterback, Matt Ryan or Eli Manning?
Ooh. Ooh.
Eli's got two rings, right?
Yep. Is Chris Liss on the line? Tell you what, Matty Ice. I got to go with Matty Ice on that one. I don't know. Maybe our listeners will chime in. 319-366-1600. Who's better, Matt Ryan or Eli Manning? All right. Mark, I'm going to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. And you can stop on by after 4 o'clock each day except for Sunday. Beautiful night to be out on the patio tonight, by the way. Check them out online at emilshideaway.com. Mark, I'm going to let you go ahead with the your part of the scoreboard, and then we're going to go over what's happening real quick at the state track and field meet.
Sounds like a plan. Six games in Major League Baseball today. Four of them in the afternoon. Three of them are final. The Angels have defeated the Baltimore Orioles 6-5. The Mets topped the Rays. How about that? 3-2. And Miami defeated Washington 5-3. Bottom of the ninth, Cleveland leads the Chicago White Sox 3-1.
Can't win them all.
No. The Iowa women's softball team received a bid to the National Invitation Tournament after being bypassed for the NCAA tournament. The Hawkeyes opened that tournament today with a 6-3 victory over UC Davis and will play its next game 1 o'clock tomorrow against either Tarleton State or South Dakota State. Great turnaround for Renee Gillespie's team from last year. Yep. And one final note on the PGA championship, Zach Johnson scheduled to start his second round play at 12:20 tomorrow. That may be pushed back because the first round will not be completed today because of the delay at the beginning. And then we take you to Des Moines, Scott.
We will. We'll take you to Des Moines. Well, sort of. In your mind's eye, we will take you to Des Moines. Theater of the mind, Mark. It's theater of the mind. 1A and 4A got underway earlier on today at the state track and field meet, taking a look at boys class 4A after the first session. It is Iowa City High, your team leader with 29 points. Linmar Lions in second with 22. Are you a City High? You're cheering for. Are you a City High grad?
Yeah, I went to City High. Graduated
in
2018.
Very good. Something to throw in the back of the mind right there. Little Hawk Isaac with the cheer right there. City High, your leader, 29 points. Linmar with 22 points. Ankeny is in third with 18 points. Girls class 4A, Ankeny leads with 27 points. Pleasant Valley with 18. And Johnston with 15. Boys class 1A, Council Bluffs St. Albert, your leader with 15 points. Mount Air and Winfield Mountain Union tied for second with 10 points. And girls class 1A, AGWSR is your team leader with 24 points. South Winneshiek second with 14. Pekin is third with 10. You know what AGWSR is, correct, right? I would never doubt you, Mark.
Don't make me say it again, Scott.
Ackley, Geneva, Wellsburg, Steamboat Rock. Of course. Let's see if we can find some of the individuals here. There's still some of the field events are still going on. 3A and 2A field events are just getting underway as we speak. And again, I will try to find those during the break here and give you some of the individuals that have done well so far from our area and pass those along to you. 3:28, we're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to be joined by Barry Abrams. We'll preview the Preakness, which comes up on Saturday from Pimlico, and have more for you. Don't forget, before 4 o'clock, we also have our grand prize drawing for the two Indianapolis 500 tickets. We will have that for you. Make somebody very, very happy with a pair of tickets to see the Indianapolis 500. We'll take a break, come back, have more for you after this here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And clouds will be building in this afternoon, and we are going to have temperatures rising up toward 80 degrees ahead of a cold front that will lead to some scattered showers and a few storms this evening and overnight tonight. That may also reduce air quality a bit as smoke is brought down closer to the ground. Heading into tomorrow morning, we'll have a few showers lingering, but we'll dry out quickly. We'll have the sun come out and temperatures will be cooler in the 60s. We'll have sunny skies in 70s this weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The girls' soccer team topped Iowa City Liberty 1-0 at home for senior night on Tuesday. With no score heading into overtime, Macy Herding put in the golden goal for the win. The boys' soccer team is advancing in the postseason. They bested Waverly Shell Rock in the Class 3A Region 8 first round on Tuesday. The girls' tennis team is heading to state. They got the victory against Ballard in the Class 1A Region 3 championship at home on Tuesday. And the Xavier baseball team got in their first games and first wins of the season in the doubleheader at Waterloo West on Monday. The Saints posted a 9-2 victory in the first game and an 18-0 shutout in the second. And good luck to the Xavier boys and girls track teams at state beginning today.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer. And under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie@kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Compost is great for your garden and a fantastic way to give your lawn a healthy lift. And it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. You can also use compost around trees and shrubs and cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. Get your yard and garden in shape. If you're a Linn County resident, pick up free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency location next to Mount Trashmore. Get ours and all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
Back on the gym class here on KGYM on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. Scott and Mark with you. Getting a lot of feedback on Eli Manning versus Matt Ryan. interesting stuff. Eli, because of the Super Bowls, plus he beat Brady twice, is 31-48. Matt Ryan lost to Tom Brady after a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. Eli beat Brady twice. It was not all Matt Ryan's fault.
Good points, though.
And Matt, the Michigan fan, with a good one. Championships are important, but should not be such a determining factor on who is, quote, great. I don't believe Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson are better than Dan Marino, but they both have Super Bowl rings, right?
Dang.
Thank you, Matt. Sorry about Caleb Love, Matt. By the way, Caleb Love not going to be a Michigan Wolverine next year. Coming up on Saturday, it'll be the 148th run for the Black Eyed Susans. It is the Pimlico Stakes, or the Preakness Stakes at Pimlico. And our friend Barry Abrams, kind enough to join us again here in Eastern Iowa on the gym class in KGYM. And Barry, first of all, thank you. And our phones across the city are not going to go out today. I promise you that.
No tornadoes, no crazy world events happening. We're going to be all right.
We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Let's go back to Churchill Downs, though. Mage, the winner of the Kentucky Derby, and That was a big surprise. It was a very unusual day, good and bad, at Churchill Downs a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, we can get into the other part of that as you see fit. But the thing we had talked about, guys, before we got so rudely interrupted, was that the pace in the Kentucky Derby, the early pace, was probably going to be fast. And because of that, we were probably going to have, a closer win it, a come-from-behinder. And we talked about Angel of Empire. We talked about, of course, the favorite Forte, who was scratched the morning of the race with a foot bruise, as it turns out. But I thought those more experienced closers, and Forte had beaten Mage twice already, those were the horses to watch out for. Mage had only made 3 career starts, and I didn't think he was Justify, the horse that won the Triple Crown without having run a 2. He had made 3 starts at age 3 and then won the 3 Triple Crown races. And even if you backed Mage, even if you liked him at 15-1 in that race, when the gate opened, he missed the break. He was nowhere. He was 15th going down the backside. And having to weave through all that traffic, you figured, well, that's the end of his day. But he had a very fast pace to run at. And if you look at his past performances, he needs a very fast pace to win. He got it. Javier Castellano, the Hall of Famer and 4-time best jockey in the country winner, he guided him through that traffic and came home with the roses.
Barry, let's get to the other part of Churchill Downs, and that was the deaths of 7 or 8 horses, most of which were the result of injuries. They had to be euthanized, but a couple, 3 were not. What do you make of everything?
Well, first of all, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. What we're not going to do here is apologize or try to explain it away. That's not the right way to handle it. It has to be taken head on. Now, with that said, and under the premise of one is too many, and that is not a cliche, one is too many. That said, for the last 12 years, there has been a tremendous amount of improvement in the technology and the tracking of data related to injuries and fatalities. And in that time, the 12 years, the number of fatalities nationwide has been cut nearly in half, which sounds good, except there's still a lot of horses that are dying. So I have seen with my own eyes some of those technological improvements, including higher quality scans of horses' legs before they ever race to determine whether there might be an injury there that vets and trainers are not seeing. And so there's been a lot of improvement in that area, and it's not as though this cluster of deaths at Churchill Downs last week or 2 weeks ago is all of a sudden making people wake up and say, oop, we got to do something. There has been a lot that's ongoing, but it's never enough. Obviously, when you cluster these fatalities around the one time of year that even the casual fan is watching the sport, it certainly is not a good look. And again, I'm not explaining it away. Much more has to be done, but just understand that a lot has and is continuing to be done in that field.
Yeah, I would agree, Barry. And you're going to err on the side of caution more. And, you know, Forte was a very good example on the morning of the Derby. And you just can't take the chance of running a horse when he has an injury that could, if he does or she goes out there, could be, you know, exasperated even more. So, go ahead.
And Todd Pletcher, who is his trainer, is one of the most respected trainers in the country, although, as it turns out, Forte tested positive for a banned substance, not around the Kentucky Derby, but last year. And so Todd Pletcher is appealing, but yet may still have to serve a 10-day suspension, which is very rare for him as well. But Todd Pletcher, forgetting all of that, was going to run Forte in the Derby. And again, his training methods are almost beyond reproach. So when he says this horse was ready to run, in most years, he probably would have run. That doesn't mean he should have, but he would have. When somebody with Todd Pletcher's credibility said he's good to go. But certainly in this environment, as you mentioned, with any kind of potential injury, whether it was a significant one or not, you certainly weren't going to run him in that condition.
Barry, are the Triple Crown races too close together?
I do believe so. I mean, the interesting stat, guys, is that this year is the first time since 1969 that only one horse coming from the Derby is running in the Preakness. I don't know if it's coincidental or not, but 1969 was when the current Triple Crown schedule was set, with the Derby on the first Saturday in May, as it's always been, and the Preakness 2 weeks later, Belmont 3 weeks after that. There are some years that the Preakness was the Wednesday before the Derby, back in the early 20th century, but it's been this way since 69. Horses are not trained this way anymore. You know that, guys, that horses don't run more than every 4, even 6, 8 weeks apart. So to do this on 2 weeks between the Derby and the Preakness is a really outmoded method of training. So that's why you only see the Derby winner, because the ownership group has the pull of history. They would like to try for the Triple Crown, but no one else is. No other Derby horses are here. These are a whole new group of horses that are rested and ready for Mage.
Yeah, very true. Very, very true. And I would like to, when we talked about this off air the other day, I'd love to see the races spread apart more. Let's face it, it's kind of in a nice, neat bow. Television's got a lot to do with it. You know, it's in the mainstream of sports media for a month. If it's pushed out, people might not be, around for the Belmont, especially if there's not a horse going for the Triple Crown. So there are reasons, but I would think in the next couple decades, I'd love to see this thing elongated at least a couple weeks.
Horse racing moves at a glacial pace.
Yes.
When it comes to change like that. Glacial. It might not be in my lifetime, and I'm only 52. But I agree with you. We're totally in the same boat.
Barry, reading through some of the profiles of the other seven horses besides Mage in the Preakness, it appears that there's at least half of them are described as closers, like Mage. So who else might you like besides Mage?
Well, hold on a second. You're right. And what that means is that I don't think Mage is going to get quite the early pace that he got in the Kentucky Derby, because you have horses that are mainly closers. So the two horses I think that set the pace are Bob Baffert's horse, National Treasure, going from the rail, and the horse going from the far outside, the 8-post First Mission for Brad Cox. And they'll set a decent pace, but not a super fast pace. Now look at Mage's first four races, his only four races. First race, half mile and 45 and change seconds. He wins. Second race, the Fountain of Youth, half mile and 47, comes in fourth. Third race, the Florida Derby, first half mile and 46, finishes second. Kentucky Derby, 45, he wins. So he seems to be a pretty pace-dependent horse. Now, if you're looking for others, I would take a look at Blazing Sevens for Chad Brown. Chad Brown could have run him in the Kentucky Derby. He had enough points. Didn't think the horse was rested enough, needed some time. Skip the Kentucky Derby. How many people would do that to run in the Preakness? He did the same thing with Cloud Computing. He did the same thing with Early Voting. Guess what those horses did in the Preakness? So I would certainly take a look. And he gets a Rod Ortiz, the nation's leading jockey. So I would certainly take a look at him. Also, I would take a look at Perform. Now, Perform's numbers are not quite as good, but he won the local prep for this race, the race run in Maryland specifically as a prep for the Preakness. He looked good. I don't know if he's quite fast enough to beat some of these others, but he's got the home field advantage, and he's ready to go. So those two are the ones I think are the ones I would look at the most. And First Mission, if he holds on, depending on where he ends up in the pace scenario.
I think it's going to be a fun race because of the fact that it's a smaller field with 8 horses as of right now anyway. 8 horses going to the gate. This is the sprint of the 3. They're going to have a little bit of room to go. And yeah, Mage, I think, like you said, Mage, if he can get out a little bit better, if, hey, you take a look at the times, they keep going down, maybe 44 seconds this time. If he runs a 44, does he win?
If somebody runs a 44 or 45 second half mile, that's what you want to look for if you're looking at Mage. If somebody does that, he's got a real shot here. He won't have a lot of traffic with which to deal. There's only 8 horses, so he won't have to thread his way through too much. But he seems to be very pace dependent. The other thing is, if you put a map of Churchill Downs on top of a map of Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, they're basically the same size. But the riders will tell you that the turns at Pimlico feel tighter. And you know, when you go into a tight turn with your car, you got to pump the brake just a little bit more, at least drag the brake anyway. Now, if you have to do that with a closer who's building momentum, that's not the best scenario. But again, he won't have to thread through as much traffic. And if he gets the setup, he, you know, horses in the spring of their 3-year-old year, we've talked about this before, guys, they are like teenagers. And, you know, a sophomore in high school who becomes a senior all of a sudden grows up, becomes this big, strong college prospect. So these horses are growing race to race. And so Mage could surprise us and not need such a fast pace to win. Maybe he's growing up. That's entirely possible. But I have to see that first.
Barry, we'll talk to you on the eve of the Belmont, but do you expect more Derby horses in that race?
Oh, sure. I mean, a lot of the top trainers are based in New York that time of year. So they'll be there. They'll just walk the horses right out of their barns, and mm-hmm. they'll have something of a home field advantage. So, yeah, I would think you're going to probably see Forte. I don't know. You might see Forte there because he didn't run the Preakness. So Todd Pletcher might run him in the Belmont. I think his long-term goal is the Travers in August at Saratoga, but he's got to run him somewhere. And if the horse is sound and ready to go, I would certainly expect to see him in the Belmont. I also would expect to see Tappet Trice from Todd Pletcher in the Belmont. And we said, I don't know if I got that far because when phones went out, but when people were asking about Tappet Trice, who was a top choice for the Derby, I said he looks like one of those one-pace grinder types, not the type with a big explosive turn of foot at the end. Those grinder types win the Belmont Stakes. So I certainly would expect to see Tappet Trice there.
Mm-hmm. How's Pimlico doing? It has, you know, it's not been, you know, tip-top as far as race courses are concerned over the last handful of years, even beyond that. We've talked about it before. Is there at least an upturn? What are things looking like at Pimlico?
Well, basically, it's a political issue. There are two main tracks at which Maryland racing is conducted. Pimlico during May and early June, the Preakness meet, as they call it, and the rest of the year at Laurel Park, which is between Baltimore and Washington. Laurel Park is in significant disrepair. The track surface is not safe. The racing's been shut down there multiple days over the last few years to re-examine the track surface. Pimlico has an aging grandstand and such. The question is, with limited resources, which one gets rebuilt? I think it's going to be Pimlico, and that Laurel will eventually be shut down and all of Maryland racing will be conducted at Pimlico. Baltimore City Council members really want Pimlico as the home of the Preakness. They don't want the Preakness moving out of Baltimore and going south to Laurel Park. So my guess is that Pimlico will be rebuilt. There have been a number of different plans put forward, but until I see a shovel on the ground, I'm not convinced of when it's going to get done. But I think ultimately Pimlico will be rebuilt. The track surface there is very good. It's the infrastructure of the the plant around it that has to be rebuilt and winterized if they're going to run there into the fall.
Are you going with Mage or reaching out for some value among the other 7?
I like Blazing Sevens for Chad Brown. I think he's got this pattern pretty well down pat with 2 Preakness winners. I forgot to also mention Red Root 1 for Steve Asmussen. He's going to be a big closer. And again, I don't know how pace dependent he is, so he may have a better shot at this even than Blazing Sevens. But I like Blazing Sevens here.
All right. And he's coming out of the 7 hole. Is it kismet? Just throwing it out there. Hey, Barry, thanks. Appreciate it. Keep up the great work with the Far Turn, and we'll talk with you before the horses head to New York, New York.
Very good, gentlemen. Take care.
You bet. Barry Abrams joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Listen to his podcast. He's the thoroughbred commentator for ESPN. It is called The Far Turn. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we'll get you updated on what's happening at State Track and Field. And we're going to have our grand prize drawing, and we're going to present someone, one of those three contestants, with two general admission tickets to the Indianapolis 500. So stay with us. More to come after this here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
What amazing feat can you accomplish in 2 seconds? You can shoot the winning shot of the championship game. You can rocket 110 feet into the sky in the world's fastest elevator. You can even perfect your yodel.
Yodel-a-hoo.
But maybe the most monumental feat you can accomplish in 2 seconds is saving a life, your life, just by buckling your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Get your garden growing with 11% off at Menards. We carry a great selection of lawn insect control products, including our Triazicide Insect Killer. It features a fast-acting formula that controls more than 260 insects from feasting on your lawn. A 10-pound bag of Spectracide Triazicide Lawn Insect Killer is $6.49 after 11% rebate. Good through May 21st. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at
our thanks to Barry Abrams for joining us. Coming up tomorrow, we'll take a look at the weekend in sports. Look back at tonight's game two between the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. We'll have that game tonight at 7 o'clock for you right here on KGYM. And we will have a topic tomorrow, and we'll let you know what that is. We'll get that out on social media, and we'll have our topic du jour coming up tomorrow on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Isaac joining us here in studio. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You're out of your perch in there.
Yeah.
It's a little different now, isn't it?
It is a little bit different. I don't have to come in every now, and I can answer your questions without having to give hand signals or something like that. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Very good. All right, Mark, you ready? Maybe not. Did I turn him? There you go. I'm sorry, Mark. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's get to it. This is highly scientific here. We've got the KGYM stocking cap, which is filled with three pieces of paper. We have juggled those pieces of paper in there. We've moved them around. We've agitated the hat. And Isaac is now going to pick one of those numbers. The numbers correspond with 1 Monday, 2 Tuesday, and 3 Wednesday.
We should have done ping pong balls.
Oh, well, we ran out. All right, Isaac, here we go. Dip your hand in there and come out with the winner. And the winner is...
That's going to be number one. That's going to be Steve.
Steve from Carmel.
It's going to be Steve from Carmel. So I'm going to go back, and I'm going to give Steve a call and talk to him about a couple of things, and... Congratulations to Steve.
Steve, if you're listening on the, he tells us that he listens most every day on the podcast, internet, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're listening, Steve has got the best scenario of our three winners. He's already there. He doesn't have to find a place to stay. He knows the route to Indianapolis. So he's going to get the two general admission tickets. And... I believe Steve has set a record, Mark, here on KGYM as the winning listener farthest away. I know that's terrible English, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, congrats to Steve, and thanks for listening over there in Carmel, and thanks for everyone who played the game. It was fun.
It was. Thanks to everybody that called in, and a big congratulations to all three of our finalists. But Steve from Carmel, he is the winner of the two general admission tickets to the Indianapolis 500. Mark, thanks to 6717 on the text line, and a big shout-out today Today, 100 years ago, May 18th, 1923, Superman Art Pennington came into this world. Today would have been Art's 100th birthday. How about that?
Great man if you ever met him.
Yeah. Just a fantastic man. Bob Ask and Art Pennington with the same birthdays as my wife.
They probably knew one another.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. If you have a birthday out there, happy birthday to you. All right, let's get to some of the winners earlier on today locally as far as state track and field is concerned. Get to those real quick here and pass along a few of those here. Boys 3,200 meters, Ford Washburn of Iowa City High. He finished up in second place. Also today on the track side of things, we'll get to the field events coming up here in just a moment. It was Wapsie Valley finishing third in the boys 4x8 relay in Class 1A. City High won the 4x8 4A relay with a new all-time state record today. So congratulations to City High. The Swartz and Druber twins, Addison and Sydney, second and third today in the girls 400-meter dash. Quite a finish for the Swartz and Drubers today. So congratulations to them. And also today, it was Tayden Ferguson of Linmar finishing fifth in the boys' 400-meter dash. On the field side of things, it was a banner day today. If I can find the results here. And Thursday, there we go. All right, so it was taking a look at the finals. In the boys' 4A high jump, TJ Jackson of Linmar finishes first with Matt Schenkelbach of City High finishing up in second. 20 new Iowa number one mark for TJ Jackson today as he went 6-11. So congratulations to him. See if we can find Mina Tate for Iowa City West. Girls high jump finished up in the fourth position today. Kabalka of East Buchanan finished as a runner-up in the 1A girls long jump earlier on today. And let's see. Audie Crooks, by the way, won the 1A shot put for the girls. Not a big surprise right there.
She won't win the discus tomorrow.
Will not win the discus. You are predicting that. Okay, very good.
I have a niece who might have something to say about that.
I know that. We're all pulling for her. So those are some of the winners earlier on today. Mark, we'll get out our topic for Friday. We'll do that tonight and tomorrow. So look for that at our Twitter accounts as well as KGYMRadio.com's Twitter account. And have a good night, Mark. Thanks to Barry Abrams for joining us. And we will talk with you coming up tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. Talk to him.
Enjoy the golf. Bryson DeChambeau, your leader right now by one over Scottie Scheffler, Sepp Straka, and Corey Connors. Todd Rommelkamp show next from 4 until 6. It's been the Gym Class, KGYM.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, AutoZone.